Welcome to Folk Box in the Voice of Russia World Service, a feature specially made for all lovers of folk art, hosted by Svetlana Yakimenko. Who Lives in Russia? Our series within a series continues. And there are well over 100 nationalities populating the territory of our vast country, each with their own traditions, beliefs, customs, rituals, songs and dances, so there's no counting them. And this is what makes our series endless, if you like. But then I'm equally sure that is particularly something you all do like, since interest in folklore is unlimited and inexhaustible, which is excellent. If people need folklore, that means life continues. Today's theme is Tatar music. Where are we off to? That's not so easy to determine, because the Tatars are huge people, scattered quite possibly everywhere across Russia. It's European part in the Urals, Siberia and the Far East. And also all across the world, there's a vast number of Tatar diasporas, one of the largest, strange as it might seem, in Finland. But the Tatars do have their own republic, Tatarstan, that's on the river Volga. The Tatars seem to be a pervasive people, and I believe they were always like that. The most serious scientists spend years trying to delve into the history of where the Tatars are originally from. But still, there is no one shared opinion regarding this. Some say their ancestors were ancient Volga folk, the Bulgari. Some are of the opinion these people claim a common rootstock with the Tatar Mongols, who back in their day spread like wildfire across the world. Ethnographers shall come up with a few more variants for you, connecting the Tatars and the Arab world with Iranian culture, ancient civilizations of the Altai and even Tibet.
Thank you.
Adding oil to the fire in these attempts to delve into the mystery of the origins of the Tartars is their music. Seemingly take such a simple thing, but Tartar music is based on pentatonism, an elementary selection of five sounds. Music of quite a lot of ancient people shares this makeup, but Tartar pentatonics are one of a kind. All the melodies are a wondrous web, closely related to the Arab ornaments or the complex patterns of Indian music. However, there the ornaments decorate very complex harmonies, melodies based on very complex scales. Neither a Tartar nor European ear can even come close to appreciating them. Still, there you have it, this mystery exists. They insist on decking out their extremely artless and simple melodies in exotic ornamental patterns, and that's final. The more complicated the ornamentation decorating a melody is, the more skilled a Tartar singer is perceived as being. To decorate each and every note without missing out a single one, that's the task. In this case, the Tartar musicians say, not to spill a single golden crumb. There is a curious and also mysterious peculiarity of the Tartar songs. A majority of them have female names. Why is this so if the Tartars are Muslims and, as such, traditionally have a very strict attitude towards women? Still, it's a fact, so we hear in an endless succession of enchanting miniatures songs about Zilay Luk Apipe Suyun Bekir. Another dominating theme in Tartar songs, the accordion and accordionists. In this case, everything is quite clear. The accordion is their best-loved instrument. And what a diversity of accordions they possess. All sizes, even tiny ones that fit into the palm of your hand. However, generally the Tartars show a favorable attitude towards diverse instruments. For example, they have the psaltery, for some reason believed to be the prerogative of Russians and the Baltic peoples. The Tartars play their version of the Vargan. This is also not at all the exclusive instrument of the northern peoples, as it is often said. The Tartars call their Vargan a horseshoe shape with a metal string, kubiz. And here's a very showy wind instrument, kurai, a horn-like pipe. It can be encountered among various peoples. Usually it's small. In the case of the Tartars and their neighbors, the Bashkirs, it's often a meter long. It's the sounds of such a kurai that start off one of my best-loved recordings of Tartar music, a remarkably beautiful lullaby. There are some curious peculiarities in Tatar customs. When a child is born in the family, the first to be told the news is the grandfather. Or this saying to a father, if a daughter is born to him, they jokingly promise, "You shall eat many pies." This is a hint at the wedding custom, to give the father of the bride a huge pie as a gift, with a pie called gubadia. Not a bad idea at all, considering that it's a truly wonderful dish. A pie with a filling made of tender meat, rice and raisins. It's so delicious, it melts in your mouth.
Gönüde di басыңда зор бақыттың шоттылары көрінсін. Басқаның үміті семейден әрі бегілсін. Басыңда зор бақыттың шоттылары көрінсін. Басқаның үміті семейден әрі бегілсін. Басыңда зор бақыттың шоттылары көрінсін.
And as a finishing touch for today, we set off to one of the noisiest, jolliest, music-filled Tatar festivals, Sabantuy, a spring holiday of fertility, which is bound to set those concerned about the future harvest in an optimistic frame of mind. That is the ancient essence of this feast, but there's not a single Tatar who does not simply enjoy having fun at Sabantuy. This feast is celebrated here in a number of Moscow parks, too. Here you'll find theatrical performances, songs, dances, equestrian events, tightrope walkers, and folk fighting contests, and of course the amazing Tatar sweets. I suppose the Tatars are particularly skilled at making these sweet delicacies. Today in Folk Box, we told you about the Tatars and their music traditions. Tune in same time every week.